This is a live budget hearing with Sitka's school board. President Tim Fulton and board member Tom Connolly are here, as well as Superintendent Mary Wegner and District Business Manager Cassie Olin. The number is 747-5877. We have another caller. It's Christy. Hi, Christy. Can you hear us?
Hi, I certainly can.
You're on the air.
Well, thank you for having this budget talk and conversation. This is really great to be able to call in and share our interests and concerns. I would like to say that, you know, folks get really excited about activities and programs, but I get really excited about what's happening within the classrooms to benefit all students. So I think it's important when we move forward in this budget season to really take a look at everything that involves all students. My specific concern right now is for Blatchley Middle School. Blatchley, if they are to maintain the middle school concept, you know, the middle school concept reduces the achievement gap. And that involves offering those basic academic skills, language arts, math, science, social studies. But at the middle school level, it requires also offering significant exploration courses, computers, technology, foreign language, PE, band, choir, art, home ec, shop. Those are all really important things for Blatchley. And so I hope that as we move forward in this process, to please consider maintaining the integrity of the middle school concept for Blatchley. Secondly, as an educator myself, I do want to just let folks know out there that you want well-trained, experienced teachers in the classroom. That's more directed at a call that was, or an email that was made earlier. And a couple other comments. If you could review the upcoming dates for public participation a couple of times during the call-in tonight to encourage folks to either call in again at a later date or come to any of your open meetings, that would be great. Just to get the word out there so we get lots of people participating in this this process. And two, I just want to let my fellow Sitkins know and to encourage them to please contact your lawmakers. You can simply Google legislator contact list, and it will come up with a listing of their phone numbers and emails so that you can call and advocate for spending money on education, because that's where our future is. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Christy, for your call. Just to paraphrase for the television audience, this caller was interested in mainly what's happening in the classroom, particularly the middle school concept is what you called it, where there's lots of exploration in addition to academics and just giving kids that, I guess that sort of experiential type of learning, the importance of that. She also wanted to know what the next hearing dates are, and the board is going to be having a work session day after tomorrow at 6 p.m. in the district office boardroom. But the first budget hearing where you can really come out and do exactly what we're doing right now in person will be Wednesday, March 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Sitka High School Library. And also I'll cover that date again, and it will be online on our website.
It's online at sitkaschools.org
okay.
as well.
Anyway, I will pitch the question to School Board President Tim Fulton.
Yes, thank you, Christy. I'm very much aware of what the middle school concept and having the electives and engaging students, that the middle school piece is we're not doing a good job. We're losing too many students in that time frame. And by having those electives, if you will, the engagement pieces, part of that is important. And it's something that I will be advocating for as we move forward through this budget this year, is trying to have more of that happening at the middle school level. So. Anybody else have?
Well, the middle school level is also the time that most students who are going to choose to go on, whether it be to a college or whether it be to a trade school or some other occupation, start making up their minds. And so that's a time when it's critical that they be presented with as many ideas and as routes as possible. And so it is an important thing that we should be undertaking.
If I could just add that last year, Blatchley took a cut of two positions, right, and Sitka High School took a cut of one position in order to balance our budget. And none of us think that we can continue with the current funding level or the current staffing level, because we are hurting at both Blatchley and Sitka High School because of it. However, we didn't have to cut a program for students, and students were our number one focus.
If you have some input for the Sitka School Board during this live budget hearing, you can post a thread on the Raven Radio Facebook page. You can email news@kcaw.org. You can also call 747-5877 and come on the air and speak with us. Here's a follow-up question regarding student-teacher ratio. This is from Josie on our Facebook page. What is the teacher-student ratio for each of the schools? And if you don't have specifics, what is the average? And how does it compare to other similarly sized communities or statewide? And Josie would like specific numbers rather than just classes are full.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We actually have that. We presented it to the Citizen Task Force. Now, it's quite different elementary than secondary, because secondary does have the electives. And so the reason that Blatchley and Sitka High School took the cuts last year is because they did have lower student-teacher ratios. And I believe they were in the 16 to 17 to 1 range. The board has always made a priority of keeping the elementary levels low. We actually just did a study comparing, and I promise I didn't ask Josie to call in. I don't know who Josie is, I don't think. But we actually did compare Sitka compared to Juneau, Ketchikan, and Kodiak. So right now in our K-1 classrooms, our kindergarten and first grade classrooms, we have an average of 18 students per class is our target ratio. We are currently this year at 19 students per class, and at least one class has 20 students. 21 students per class is our target. We try to staff so that we have no more than our target numbers in a class. 4 to 5, 24 students per class. And when you compare, this is this year's, the 2015-16 comparison data at the elementary level, and this is from the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development website, our average number of teachers is 13 to 1. Now, the reason that that's a difference between 18, 21, or 24 is because we do have reading specialists. We do have physical PE teachers. We do have music teachers. We do have speech-language pathologists, occupational therapists, other teachers that count in the overall number. So they lower our overall number. The other district that is also at 13 is Ketchikan. Juneau and Kodiak were both at 15 to 1 overall, looking at all teachers at the elementary level.
All right. Again, it's a live school board budget hearing with members of the Sitka School Board. Did anybody else have anything on student-teacher ratios?
I would just say that, over the years that I've looked at the data at the elementary, the kindergarten, first, second grade, and it to me, it's obvious that keeping those pupil-teacher ratios is a big benefit to that core foundation that we're giving our students. So that would be all I'd have to say to it.
As we go into the budget recognizing that we have a $1.6 million deficit or potential deficit, we're going to have to be looking at cuts of various sorts. And one of the things that always comes up is, do you cut whole programs, or do you raise the student-teacher ratio and put more children in a classroom? And that's something that's going to obviously be part of what we're charged with doing this year, as we are every year.
And I might just add that the one or two students in kindergarten level that are over our target of 18 has significantly impacted, and we had to hire an AmeriCorps to help out because we needed just one more person in a class, one more student in a class made that much difference.
All right. You can email a question to the school board at news@kcaw.org. You can post on our Facebook page, as Josie did just a second ago. You can also call us at 747 5877. Here's an email question from a person who, again, wants to remain anonymous. This is a different person. I was wondering if the bus contract has been looked at. It seems like most of the buses being run are not very full. From what I remember growing up, some states had no bus service if one lived within a certain radius of the schools. Has any consideration been given to this? It just seems a waste to drive those large buses, and as we know, our streets are not in the best condition. Thank you for your question, school board.
Yes, and I'll have to defer because I don't remember the particulars, but the busing transportation does get more complicated than a person might think. And we have had conversations about that. So Tom or Mary or Cassie, if you can remind me.
Currently, the pupil transportation is currently funded through the state. It is actually money that comes to us outside of the foundation formula, and it's based off of a statute that was written back in 2012 that it was increased by CPI every year for the next 3 years. And so currently this year is the year that it's actually stayed flat due to the fact that nobody's put any legislation in for it. It is based off of the amount of kids that can ride the bus potentially. It doesn't include any of our correspondence students. And then due to the fact that we are considered rural, we don't have the limits of that if you live within two blocks within the school, we can't pick you up, which we can due to the fact that we are considered a rural district. Our bus contract that we currently have is paid by our student transportation funding that we do receive from the state, and currently we do not have any of our general operating money, which money would be in this budget, is currently not set aside for any of that transportation. It is covered by the state's extra funding that they give us.
And we should just clarify, because part of the question was the contract, and that contract is a 3-year contract, 5-year contract.
Yeah, and it's not due to expire until 2019 right now.
And if I could just put a shout in to Pruitts, they're a wonderful partner for us.
I just wanted to say, I just based on sort of my reading of that email, are there efficiencies in the contract that are even possible? I mean, they are big buses. They're not always full. The schools all start at different times. It's not, we're probably not going to mingle kids due to past history in the district. Are there efficiencies that are worth looking at here? Is the contract just fixed?
We do have elementary students ride together and secondary students ride together separately. But that is part of the mix, is because we do the start times are staggered, and also we do not want to mix beyond the elementary and secondary level.
Okay. Anything else on buses? We have a call from Kenyatta. Hi, Kenyatta. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, no problem. I guess my question would just be about Pacific High. I'd like to call as an advocate for Pacific High. I attended there and graduated from there, and I know that they're improving things around there. They got their new school, and it brought around some school pride, and I know their capacity, even with a waiting list, and that they're when the question is asked, is our students learning, the answer there would be they are. I know that they have good teaching techniques and good teachers around there, and like my sister's gone there and my sister is going there, and it's a great school, so I'd just like to hear your stance on Pacific High School.
All right, thanks very much for your call, Kenyatta.
I think the school board has looked at the problem of where to place students, and it's very clear that the courses being offered at Pacific High is different than the courses that we're offering at Sitka High, and that the kids who benefit from the Pacific High approach are a different breed of cat, as it were, and very frequently find that approaching a subject by spending an intense amount of time on a single subject rather than having kids go through grade by grade or class by class is more beneficial. It's also true that we've been at the point where funding the Pacific High is now institutionalized. When the first couple of years that we had it, we had the question posed each year at budget time as to whether we should be spending that money. But it's a good investment from what we can see, and it's something that is enjoyed by the community. And our feeling is that it's indeed a very viable and worthwhile program.
And I would concur. We've been making a point this last year, last couple months actually, as board members and superintendent, to attend the cruise there at Pacific High. And one of the reasons is our board goal of engaging the families in our schools. They do a great job with it, and we're trying to get some feedback from them as how we might be able to do that at our other schools as well. But you know, it's always a conversation there in the frozen food aisle. You know, what is the value of Pacific High? And I think it's a tremendous value, and the feedback I'm getting from most of the community is that they feel it's a value as well.
So. I would say that one of the things that's interesting about Pacific High is that they have considerably greater attendance at parent-teacher meetings than is true in any of the other schools, so that it really is involving the whole family in most cases.
All right. You're listening to a live budget hearing with the Sitka School Board over Raven Radio, KCAW. In Sitka, you can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can give us a call, 747-5877, or you can post on our Facebook thread, Raven Radio's Facebook page. We've got a special programming thread right up at the top of the page, and we'll take your comment there. We do have an email question now for the school board. This is it's not anonymous, but I can't tell from your email address what your name is. Anyway, here's the question. It sounds like there is no transparency within the school board when it comes to talking about teacher salaries. We cut everywhere, even positions, but never do the teachers take cuts themselves to benefit the community as a whole. Will the school board consider cutting teachers' wages? Why not?
Well, that is a very good question. I think that was something that we talked about in our executive session when we were entering into the negotiation piece. But I myself feel that there is value in working with our teachers. I think that they are very valuable moving into the success of our students, and that we need to find that balance. It's been something since I've been on the board that I've wrestled with. They are getting they have been getting raises as we go through, and that does affect the bottom line in our budget and so on. But I think I just had a conversation earlier today about the success of other countries that they have with their educational system. Take Finland, and they have success because they have raised their teachers up to being considered one of the best professions to be in. It's like an attorney or a doctor or something like that. And I think that for success going forward, for all of our students to think of our teachers like that is more valuable than to look at cuts.
The advantage that we have compared to other districts is the fact that we've had teachers that have been in the system for quite a lengthy period of time, and that means that they're going to get advances in salary no matter what district they're working for. And if indeed we were to have a much younger a group of teachers, it would undoubtedly cost us less. By the same token, we wouldn't be getting as much punch for the buck as we were getting with somewhat older teachers. And we're in a position where our teachers who are long-term teachers with the district are mentoring or teachers who are more recent graduates and more recent hires. So if you run a really good system, you wind up having more expensive teachers by sort of an infit.
And if I could just, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If I could address the transparency issue, all of the teacher salaries are approved by the school board, so they are in the school board packet annually, and there will be press out on the negotiations discussions, which is also public. I do want to reiterate what both Tim and Tom have shared, and also what Christy said is you want good quality teachers in the classroom with students, and we're lucky to have them.
All right. If you'd like to speak to the school board, the number to call is 747-5877, or you can post a comment on our Facebook thread, and you can at Raven Radio, and you can also email us news@kcaw.org. We have Sean on the line. Hi, Sean. You have a comment for the Sitka School Board?
Well, I do, and anyhow, I live in town here and own a home here and everything, and I never hear I've heard on the $265 million and this and that, but when it comes down to per student, K through 12, we've done some math, and we're thinking, isn't it true that $19,500 per child, K through 12, is that the number that you're familiar with?
I would love to have $19,500 per child. We are currently $5,880 is what we receive per child. There are some multipliers on there, but it is not anywhere near the $19,500. But I would love to have that if...
he's saying that's what the cost is.
No, really. So your number is $5,000?
Well, 5,880 per student when we do our count, but maybe I misunderstood your question. Was your question about how much money we get per student or how much we spend per student?
Well, it would pretty much be if you took your entire budget and then divided it by the amount of kids you had in that. That is a very true statement there. I mean, you've got X amount of a budget, which is, you would know that number, I'm sure. Well, I think it's $265 million or something.
It's just under $20 million. Maybe, Sean, just run down revenues and just because we have the budget here. And also, Sean, you could go to our website, kcaw.org, and find this special programming, find this post, and there's a link there with this document where they've got all the revenue numbers in it. So I'm going to go ahead and let the administration is putting their heads here together, and they're going to give us some revenue numbers. Let's just clear the air on what the actual figures are. Thanks very much for your call, Sean.
Hey, again, thank you for talking to me. I tell you, I'm impressed that you even talk to me and everything.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, Sean. We're hoping to have these community conversations, so...
Yeah, so let's look at the revenues. Sometimes this isn't the first time I've heard a high number like that, and I do wonder if people commingle the base student allocation, the BSA, which is a number that's often tossed around in legislative politics, trying to increase the BSA, with the intensive number, which is, as you were saying, Tim, is a multiplier.
13 times.
It's 13 times the BSA.
We also have a multiplier that applies to the district in relationship to Anchorage, which is considered zero on the multiplier as the basic student allocation. And we multiply that here in Sitka by 0.19. Smaller communities like those on the North Slope and in the Northwest Arctic, I have multiples of 2 and 3, so there is a distribution around the state is dependent on your economic circumstances.
All right. So maybe Cassie and Mary, you could tell us what the big revenue sources are. Obviously, the state and the city are probably the biggest single contributors?
So this is the FY17 preliminary budget. It's got a revenue totaling $19,744,000 that is projected right now. Of that $19 million, $13,231,011 is from the state in regards to our foundation formula. And as everyone has said, it's based off of many different factors that go into it. It's based off of the school size factors, based on how big each school is, meaning if your school is ranging between 250 and 400, you get a certain dollar amount added to your kids, the kid count. And basically what this ends up doing as it factors itself through, a count of 1,305 ends up being to the state $2,767.5 adjusted ADM, which is adjusted average daily membership. So our 1,305 kids just grew to 2,767.5 students is basically what it comes down to. And they take that times the base student allocation of the 5,880, and then that is where you come up with the 13 million that we come from. After that, there is the $6.2 million that we are currently receiving from the city of Sitka in regards to our local appropriation. Currently, that number is roughly about $700,000 below the cap, and the cap is a popular term around boroughs within school districts. So the cap is what the state says in order to be equitable between the city or a borough and the state. This is the amount of money that the borough can contribute to its public education. So right now we are sitting at $6.2 million. And then the rest of the money that we receive is miscellaneous local revenue, which is consistent of a lot of jury duty checks that we receive from our staff because they get chosen a lot. Concerns anybody who's on COBRA in regards to health insurance. We also receive E-rate, which is roughly about $125,000 projected. E-rate is something that we receive that is offset by
the Universal Services Fund.
Yes, USAC, as we call it. And that comes out of everyone's telephone bills. You'll see it at the bottom of your phone bills, of your cell phone bills, of your regular telephone bills from home. It's a fee that services helps schools and libraries receive telecommunication and internet services. At a discount rate.
Right. Okay.
And that's based off of our free and reduced percentages of our students. The remaining money that we receive is coming out of federal sources, direct federal sources. That comes from Impact Aid. And what Impact Aid is, property that is in the city and borough of Sitka that cannot collect property tax that is owned by basically the federal government, which basically resounds back to the Coast Guard base, the Coast Guard housing, the U.S. Forest Service housing, their buildings, places along the way of that, some of our Indian lands that we can't collect any property tax, and so the federal government pays us a certain percentage to have that. And then the last one, which we are currently not anticipating to receive this upcoming year, is Secure Rural Schools, which is something that always plays in limbo for us. And that's not currently in that $19 million figure.
Okay, that's always a federal football getting kicked around.
Yes.
Congress.
And it's something that benefits equally the city, and they use
right.
it for roads and also some
mountain rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so if I had to put it in an audio nutshell, and Cassie, your English is fine. I can tell you just had one too many accounting classes, probably.
I know.
It's $13 million from the state, approximately $6 million from the city last year, and then this sort of puppy dog tails of other funding. And that $13 million from the state is based on this roughly $5,000 base student allocation, which is a formula, and it does have these multipliers, as Tom was saying, based on your, you know, if you're up on the far Arctic coast, you're going to get a different multiplier, and Anchorage is the zero number, and then all the other communities, it all depends on the sort of the CPI and everything. So anyway, it's $20 million. I always sort of see it as basically the same as the Sitka General Fund. It's a fairly large organization, similarly staffed. And that's about what it costs to run something that size. Again, you're listening to a live budget hearing with the Sitka School Board. You can email us, news@kcaw.org. You can also post a question on our Facebook page. You can also call us at 747-5877. We do have a couple of questions stacked up. Did you want to talk more about revenues or go to more testimony from the public?
I guess for me, I just wanted to follow up. You know, what I got from Sean's question there is he was saying that this is what is costing us per student to educate them out of our budget with his quick math and so on. I came up with a little different figure than that. But my question would be, and we presented this to the Citizens Task Force, is what would you be willing to give up in your children's education or in our children's education? And that's, to me, is the underlying question. You know, what is it that we are doing in excess that people would be willing to give up?
And at some point, will you actually ask that question? Don't you produce a budget at some point that has ways to make up the $1.6 million deficit that
yes.
actually sort of become the talking points?
Yeah, we're not allowed to do anything except zero-based budget.
Right. And the first opportunity to really comment on that will be the 23rd of March?
That is correct. So now we're just out here having these conversations, gathering the information so we can have those conversations as we move forward.
Yeah.
That's the possibility.
And it seems to be going really well. We're down to our last 15 minutes, and we have.
You didn't give us a break?
We're on the home stretch. We're heading for the tape right now. This is from Jennifer on the Raven Radio Facebook page. What do other tourist destination towns in Southeast Alaska, like Skagway and Juneau, charge for their summer seasonal sales tax? Could another penny be added for the Sitka School District? That's an interesting question, having dedicated revenue out of the sales tax.
That's a very good question. And one of my answer to that would be something that goes to the assembly level. That is something as a district we are not able to levy, which is different than a lot of places in the lower 48 and elsewhere to levy any taxes on the citizens' base. That's something that is decided at the borough level in the state of Alaska.
Yeah, so we are limited to local, state, and federal funds.
Okay.
And I don't know what the tax bases are for those. I know that Skagway right now is struggling because they're having more and more students come into their district because of the tourism base that they're having there. They didn't have enough teachers when they started the school year, and I think it continues that way. So.
All right. Another question, again from an anonymous email. She says, I realize this would be an imperfect solution, but have we considered consolidating Pacific High School to become a school within Sitka High? Potentially, this would provide substantial savings both in facility costs and possibly one less district administrator. Has that been considered, folding Pacific High into the high school?
There has been some consideration or some talk about that. And to me, there's lots of issues. One is we don't have the room at Sitka High to do that. And two, what the caller was talking about earlier when he called to support Pacific High is the uniqueness that it creates there for our students and some of the programs that we have in place that are going to help them be successful as they move into their adult lives. So it really, to me, I don't see how it can work out to benefit our students at all.
All right.
I think we've discovered over the years that there are different ways of learning, and some people learn in a traditional manner, and others learn in a modified manner. And what we've been experiencing with Pacific High is a system that's somewhat like Outward Bound, and it is appealing to some students who we feel pretty certain would not manage to graduate in a a traditional school system. So we provide, just like we provide special classes for those with intensive needs, we provide special opportunities for those who have a different learning style.
If there were room in Sitka High, Tom, would you consider putting merging Pacific High into that building?
We'd have to consider it. The data that we have and the conversations we've had with the students is that if indeed we did do that, the majority of them would simply drop out of school.
And I might just add to the conversation that Pacific High School and Sitka High School run on completely different schedules. Sitka High School has more of a traditional schedule where you move from class to class throughout the day, and they do have good blocks of time for learning instruction. Pacific High School runs two classes a day, an AM and a PM session, and they then cover all the hours for the credit that they're offering within a shorter window of time. So even Bell schedules logistics of, first of all, we don't have the room at Sitka High School, but there's just, it's incompatible, the differences. And it's very important that we honor the learning style that is part of Pacific High School and is part of Sitka High School.
All right. Thanks, Superintendent Mary Wegner. We're sort of coming down to the wire here a little bit. If somebody has a question or actually input for the Sitka School Board, this is an actual budget hearing. Everybody here, Board President Tim Fulton is busily taking notes on a lot of this, a lot of these comments. This is all part of the board's budget process. The school board is going to submit a final budget to the assembly at the last week of April or so. And right now, as things stand, the district is $1.6 million in the red. And there are some pretty major assumptions out there about revenue, mainly the flat funding from the city, the $6 million from the city. A couple of weeks ago, you had a work session with the assembly, and Mayor Mim McConnell kind of sighed and said, we have troubles of our own this year, and the number is still rather fluid, but it's possibly in the neighborhood of $4 million City of Sitka deficit. Yeah. And she asked you guys where we need to see the cuts. And I don't have a question from the public right now, so I'll just toss that out there. How, I didn't hear what you, I'm sure you put your head together with the mayor at some point and tried to reassure her that things were happening.
There are two ways to cut a budget. One of them in a school system is to divide the cost of cutting among all the classes that you're running and have everybody take a certain percentage of cut. The other way of doing it is, of course, to eliminate certain programs like art, music. We can't eliminate PE because that's required by the state. We have a certain number of electives which can be reduced, et cetera. Once you start talking about those things, you're talking about not percentage cuts, but you're talking about eliminating things whole. And we did that last year with the community schools budget. So that's one of the things that we're going to be looking at. The other is that we know that the state is going to be cutting certain amounts out of our budget simply by not funding certain things. We're looking at a request for a $50 increase in the base student allowance, and at least so far that's survived in the legislature. Whether it'll survive to the end of the session is unclear, and it's a pretty substantial cut out of the budget. As we now, we based the budget on getting that extra $50, and we may not get it.
Are you, Tom, are you and Tim going to be asking the administration to prepare you kind of a fallback, a plan B budget, if the $50 increase in the BSA, which I don't know the temperature of the legislature. I just know that their backs are up against a wall that's kind of unprecedented in recent memory anyway. And also the whole idea of this, the city flat funding is going to be probably a tough fight. I don't think it's a shoo-in, but is there Do you want to see a plan B where if those things don't become a reality and your budget actually gets back up in the $2 million, your deficit actually gets back up in the $2 million range, that's when we're going to start to see some lines drawn across programs, right, in a projected budget?
Absolutely.
Yes, and that's the conversation that we'll be having Wednesday, is directing administration as to how we would like to see things look. The matrix that we had last year seemed to work. It was very easy to, for everybody to understand. But so we'll be having that conversation. But I would just like to feel the last email, I think it was, question and yours about the mayor asking what we were going to cut. And to me, it comes back to this conversation and to our school board goal, which one of them is engaging, develop a definition of the Sitka School District measurement of student success and school completion, including but not limited to graduation. So we would really like to have the conversation to help us define that goal. What is it that we would like to see our students coming out of our schools with? Is it simply knowing how to make mac and cheese? Or do we want them to be college and career ready in whatever aspect that looks like? And what does the success look like for the students of Sitka? So that is why we're here having these conversations, and that as board members, we're always open for dialogue. So.
All right. We are just about out of time. I guess if it's up to me to ask the last question or two, I just want to pitch in there about the activities budget. Tim, I know this is kind of a special area of interest of yours, and over in Juneau right now, they're talking that even if they eliminated every single state job, they'd only cut the deficit by less than half. And I have a feeling that even if we eliminated every single extracurricular activity in the Sitka School District, it wouldn't really touch this. It wouldn't eliminate the $1.6 million deficit.
By no means, no.
So how are activities playing into your thinking at this moment?
Well, I'll be quite honest. I got called on this at an earlier budget work session with the community, and I have let activities drop off my radar. So I am in the trying to gather more information, bring it back into my thought process, and look at how we can. I know the importance of activities to building the character of our students and keeping them involved in all this, but what is it that we can do as a district level to support activities better?
And Tom does sit on, and Cassie and I are also on the committee that Jen McNichol now heads up, that's looking, we've been going now for what, a year now, Tom?
Year, almost a year and a half.
With some very dedicated community members and staff looking at how do we create a sustainable program for our students, because we know activities are critical to the development of all students, and how can we make sure everybody has that opportunity. I want to just point out in the conversation, there's two funding sources for activities. The coaches are paid for from the district budget, which is what we're here to talk about. The other part, thankfully, the city gives us $132,000 that helps to support the teams, and so they don't have to fundraise so much. So that is on top of the money that we were previously talking about that the city gives us for our operating budget, and we're very appreciative of that, because if not, I don't know that we could have activities at all for our students.
And we also worry about the fact that there are some families in town that can afford to support their children through activities, and some families that simply can't do that. And how do you create a situation where there's equity? And it's a very difficult problem. One of the things that has been brought up has been the possibility of coming up with an endowment fund, but that's a wider-ranging conversation.
And we actually last spring, when Tim was heading up the committee before he got too busy with other committees, we did a survey of middle school and high school students, and we had over 200 at each level participate, and we asked them, what do you want in your activities? What matters to you? Then this year, we met with all the coaches and asked them, you know, what do you see as the value of the activity or sport or athletic that you offer? And universally, we decided that every activity really matters for someone. So how do we figure out a way to make it sustainable? As Tom mentioned, we're looking at other ways to help with that so every student can participate.
All right. Well, members of the school board and administration, we are going to bring this hearing to an end with your permission, Mr. President.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you, SICA, for participating and having those conversations. And please do not hesitate to reach out to any or all of us to continue the conversation.
All right. I want to thank School Superintendent Mary Wagner, Business Manager Cassie Olin, Tom Conley, and School Board President Tim Fulton for appearing tonight in this live budget hearing. I want to thank KCIW's postgraduate fellow, Brielle Schaefer, who's upstairs and has been sending calls down to us today. I want to thank everybody who participated. We got a lot of calls and a lot of input on our Facebook and email page. And unlike other kinds of call-ins, your input tonight matters, and you'll have another opportunity, probably not so much during the work session, right? That's going to be a board conversation, but the public is welcome to sit in and listen. That will be 6 to 8 p.m. This Wednesday, March 9th, in the district office boardroom. And again, Tim, as you said, you'll be having a conversation about what the fallback plan is going to be if some of the funding assumptions don't come through and the budget deficit may be larger and it may come down to sort of programming decisions. And then the first official sort of come out and protect your program budget hearing is going to be 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 23rd. And I don't want to make light of that, but you know, last year when they started, when you started talking about community schools and the swimming pool, that really did bring out a lot of passionate and concerned testimony, a lot of care, actually, about what people wanted and what they felt were the ways to cut. So again, that will be 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 23rd at the high school library. I'm Robert Woolsey. I'm KCAW News Director. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Coming up next, news headlines at 8:01. That will be followed by Mississippi Delta Lines with Fred. Thanks again for tuning in.
Thank you.